Welcome to Martha Runs the World, a podcast about running, fitness, and all things health related. I'm Martha Hughes, your host, and each week I'll introduce a new episode that is of interest to all runners. Welcome to episode 269 of Martha Runs the World. I thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate it. How you doing this week? I'm doing excellent. I started running last week, and I got a couple really, really great runs in this past weekend. Oh, so fun. I'm doing this recording late, as usual. I don't know, my schedule is crazy. I don't seem to be able to get my recordings done early, so it is what it is. But I really, really had a lot of fun running this weekend. I'm going to get another run in tomorrow before I go back to work. I have a very weird work schedule. I work in urgent care and I work long hours a couple days a week. And one week I work very long hours through the weekend, which enables me every other weekend to have 4 days off. I do work every other weekend, but it's okay. It's balanced. If I need to take time off on a weekend, I can. So it's all right. It does work. I've gotten used to it, so it's kind of interesting. And I never, ever, ever work on Monday. That's kind of fun. Okay. Today, it's all about the Barkley Marathons. Barkley is going to be happening anytime in the near future. We're never sure when it's going to start. It's whatever last decides it's going to start. So it's not like a regular race. It's nothing like a regular race. There is no race like Barkley. And I'm going to talk about it today. I'm sure you've heard of Barkley. Perhaps your fanatic ultra friends talk about Barkley as if it's a crazy secretive race that no one knows much about. And it is in many ways. Not only is it one of the hardest races in the world, it is one of the hardest races to enter. Gary Lazarus Lake Cantrell, and I'll call him Laz from now on in the episode, he started the race to show that not everyone running a race would win. In fact, very, very few runners who try to run this race would ever finish it. The race started after Laz was inspired by the prison break of James Earl Ray, the man who assassinated Martin Luther King. And now he broke out of Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary in the town of Petros in Morgan County, Tennessee. It was the biggest news to hit the small mountain community. The manhunt took over 2 days over some of the most rugged terrain in the country before being caught. In that whole time, Ray only traveled 8 miles. Now, Laz was inspired not from Ray's crime or the fact that Ray only made it 8 miles from the prison. He was inspired by the fact that this country was so rugged and nasty. From that desperate act, Laz thought he could make a race out of it. Only Laz could think that. Why it's named Barkley is still a mystery. He named it for his neighbor Barry Barkley, but no one, even Barry, knows why. In fact, if you watch the documentary, Barkley, The Race That Eats His Young, they ask Barry that question, and he hasn't a clue. He doesn't know. The first official race was run in 1986. The course is a loop of about 20 miles, give or take a mile or so. No one is really sure, although the entries think it's more close to a marathon distance. A runner must complete the loop 5 times in the time allotted for each loop to go on with the race. The race has grown in popularity over the past few years. The race caps participants to around 40 people, men and women, each year. That's not a whole lot of people running, so it's very, very exclusive. The experience of the runners covers all abilities, from the most elite to those Cantrell says have no business being there. This is especially true for whoever receives bib number one. That is known as the human sacrifice, aka the one person who has the least chance of finishing, and they pick out who that is before the race starts. For many years, the official participant list of the Barkley Marathons was kept hush-hush until the race began, but with the growing interest in the endurance event and social media, you know how it is, many dedicated runners announce that they're selected before the race starts on their own platforms. The race is popular, but the application process is not your typical race sign-up. The information that exists says that mailing in an application, which is subject to changing each year, and a non-refundable registration fee of $1.60 is all that it takes to enter. However, when and how is a well-kept secret. There is no official race website. One way to possibly get your entry in is to do the Fall Classic. I'll talk more about that in a bit. If you are accepted into the race, you receive a letter of condolences from Cantrell. Racers are also expected to pay another fee, which often takes the form of an article of clothing, such as a white button-up shirt or socks. Cantrell picks the items to bring to the race each year. He says that he chooses what they should bring by what he needs most at home. The course is not well known outside of those who have attempted a loop of the fabled race, but for your main reference, you should know it takes place in the Cumberland Mountains within Frozen Head State Park, which is in Wartburg, Tennessee. He also switches it up every year, so it's not the same from one year to another. Some say he makes it harder every year. It winds through the park's more than 24,000 acres by and under the infamous closed Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary, and up and over wicked terrain and switchbacks. The elevation is one of the most notable challenges of the race. The total elevation gain is 60,000 feet. If you complete all five loops, it's the equivalent of climbing Mount Everest twice. Being in the woods and often off blazed trails, runners are subjected to the thorns, briars, and other unpleasant plants to run through. Runners often return from the loop battered and cut up. If you watch one of the noted documentaries that I'll talk about in a little bit, you'll see that it usually doesn't help to wear shorts, as your legs will get torn up on the course. The race historically takes place around the first weekend in April, though it has run in March before as a way to throw off spectators. Only racers are allowed on the course. Spectators are kept to only two spots, while crews must wait at the campground near the infamous Yellow Gate in Frozen Head State Park as they await runners returning. In the race's history, the event has only been canceled twice. The first time came in 2000 when an issue kept Frozen Head State Park from honoring the event permits. The second time came in 2020 when the coronavirus pandemic forced park officials to cancel the race. A safe version of Barkley Marathons was held in 2021 with COVID-19 protocols in place. For the fourth event in a row, the 2022 Barkley race had no finishers. However, five runners completed a fun run. The fun run distance is three laps in 40 hours. To finish the fun run is highly prized, and it isn't any fun. For the first time since 2017, there was a finisher in Barkley. In fact, there were three finishers in 2023. The runners beat the race. Aurelien Sanchez of France, John Kelly of the U.S., and Carl Saab of Belgium became the first trio to complete all five loops since 2012. It is Kelly's second Barkley finish in six attempts. Jasmine Paris became the second woman to start a fourth loop. Sue Johnston started a fourth loop in 2001, so they're getting closer.
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
The start of the race occurs between midnight and noon. However, racers are never told when the race will officially start. The only indication they receive by start time is when Laz blows a conch shell, which could come in the middle of the night to signify that the race will start exactly 1 hour from that time. Once the hour is up, runners line up at the yellow gate, the infamous yellow gate, at a campground within Frozen Head State Park. When Laz lights a cigarette, that starts the race along with the clock. Participants then have 60 hours to complete the race. That's a hard cutoff, as learned by Gary Robbins, who appeared to be 6 seconds off the cutoff time in 2017. It was later deemed that Robbins came in from the wrong direction, and I'll talk about his film, Where Dreams Go to Die, shortly. To complete the race, you must complete 5 loops of the course. The first 2 are often done in the same direction, like clockwise. The second 2 are run in the opposite direction, and it can be one or the other on the final loop. It's the runner's choice. Actually, the first one in gets to make that choice, and then everybody else has to do the opposite direction. It's like one this direction, the second this direction, and so on. Each loop must be done in 12 hours to even attempt the full course, unless you're attempting the fun run. That's 3 loops with a time limit of 13 hours, 20 minutes for each loop, or 40 hours total. It's a little confusing, and imagine being out there with no sleep, and you're tired, and maybe it's the weather's horrible, and you're hungry, and maybe you're thirsty, and yeah, have to deal with all that time. Laz is definitely a sadist. Runners must touch the infamous yellow gate as they leave for each loop. When they complete a loop, they must touch the gate again to officially finish. Once touched, they can go to their crew and recover. The faster you finish the loop, the more time you theoretically have to recover before. Example, if you finish a loop 1 in 10 hours, you have 2 hours until you have to start your second loop, if eyeing for a chance at the full course. When the racer is ready to go back out, they receive a new bib and touch the gate to start again. The bib is very important in this race. It doesn't track the runner or splits. Rather, each loop requires runners to make it to various points in the park. At those checkpoints are books that Cantrell has placed there. Your bib number is the page number you need to rip out of the book. Typically, 9 to 11 books are placed in the woods, and if you are missing a page, then you didn't officially complete the loop. There is one map at the start line for runners to copy, and no GPS technology or course markings are available for runners. And the books are hilarious, too, matching Laz's sense of humor, and many titles of the books are about suffering or dying or failing in the titles. Books with titles like In Cold Blood, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, If I Survive, that kind of stuff. You know, it's very funny. He has a wicked sense of humor. Most runners struggle to complete one loop. If you drop out, you surrender yourself at the yellow gate and taps is played on a bugle to symbolize you tapping out of the race. It shouldn't be hard to believe that there haven't been that many finishers over the decades since the race has been around. The fun run wasn't even completed until 1988 by Frozen Ed Furtaugh when it was a 55-mile race. After that, it took until 1995 for someone to complete all five loops. So the race was around for like 10 years until someone completed all five loops. The best women's finish is believed to be by Sue Johnston, 66 miles, in 2001. Only 17 individuals can call themselves official Barkley finishers by completing all five loops in less than 60 hours. And there's only three finishers that have done it more than once, and that would be John Kelly, Brett Mann, and the big winner, Jared Campbell, who has finished it three times. Since this is not your usual ultra race, the usual elite ultra runners probably will never win. They may not ever enter. Now, I have forever read posters in running groups when Barkley starts or when Barkley's around ask, well, why doesn't Jim Walmsley run Barkley? Well, the closest one who actually did run was a couple of years ago when Courtney Dahlwalter ran it. And I think she just did it for fun. And I don't remember, did she do one or two loops? I don't remember. I think she may have done two. But it was just for fun. And I know she's an adventurer. She'll try anything. But the thing is that Walmsley only likes really perfectly groomed trails that like go straight up and down. He doesn't do any of these cross-country type stuff. There's no trail at all at Barkley. They don't follow a trail. It's cross-country through brush, through nasty, nasty briars. And if you don't know what briars are, people in the South know what briars are, but if you're outside of the South, there are these bushes that have thorns on them, and they're nasty and awful. Think blackberry bushes. That's exactly like what they are. So think of going through blackberry bushes. Think of that. It's really nasty. And the best candidate to do Barkley may not even be an ultra runner. It may be someone who enjoys trail running, true, but they also have to be really good at orienteering. They have to be good at going through cross country and going without trails. They have to be an adventurer. So they may not be the big name ultra runner that you know of who does all the other stuff. They're a different animal than most other races. So that's why you're not really seeing big names who win other races win Barkley. It's not your typical ultra race. It's a different type of race. Someone who does orienteering may think about doing this race. Once the race starts, or just prior to it, the only way you can follow the race is on what used to be known as Twitter, X. Keith Dunn is the only journalist on location. Now, it's really cool to follow him for the best coverage around. In keeping up with its secretive approach, Barkley Marathons has no official social media channels. Keith Dunn's X address is at Keith Dunn, and that's D-U-N-N. At @rat_jaw is also worth following. And those are the two accounts on X that is you should check out if you want to find out when Barkley starts. This is purposely done. It's the complete opposite of UTMB. And it aims to stay that way. I think that's admirable. It's about the race, not about making the race directors and the sponsors rich. Laz only cares about making a tough race where participants can have fun and suffering in the mountains. It's not about exorbitantly priced corporate races screwing over local race companies. Yeah, I said it. That's exactly it. That is my opinion about UTMB. There are a few really good documentaries about Barkley. There are five really, really good Barkley documentaries. There's some in other languages, but since I don't speak those other languages, I can't tell you how good they are. If you haven't seen the original, start with that. And the original is Barkley, The Race That Eats Its Young. That's the one to start with. And I believe it's on YouTube. I think it's on Amazon Prime, but you can find it. I think you can find it for free. The second one is the one with Gary Robbins, Where Dreams Go to Die. The next one is Out There, and I believe that that is the newest one. I think that was done in 22 probably. The Year That Barkley Won is another one, and I think that is the one that has Jamil Khoury in it, and Barkley 100. There is a new one coming out that's supposed to be out actually when this episode releases, called Number 17. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And I'll either talk about it on the show itself or write a blog about it. I do have a blog that comes out, and I'll talk about that in just a bit. Les should announce the start of 2024 Barkley anytime, so be on the lookout. Keith Dunn's X account is also a great place to start, too, if you want to start the lookout for the Barkley. It's going to be from now up through April, so we're not sure when that's going to start. So let's see, will Barkley win this year, or will there be a race winner? Sometimes the race wins, mostly, and sometimes runners win, so it's kind of interesting that way. I find it fascinating to follow. I'm not a fanatical Barkley follower. Now, Laz has another race that takes place in the fall. It's called the Barkley Fall Classic. It started in 2014 with the idea that those interested in the Barkley marathons might need to get a sample of what Frozen Head State Park is all about before they even consider applying for the big race. And it's a 50K, it's first run, and he added in a marathon option just in case that the runners might be running out of time. They can take the easy way out, quote unquote, by completing the shorter distance. Now, there's nothing easy about this race. It is on a trail, so it makes it easier than the Barkley marathons because they're not on a trail at all. This is on a trail. It's a nasty race. It's very, very nasty. The course changes every year, and each course change includes an addition to the course, never a subtraction. So it gets a little bigger every year. And so it's probably not 31.2 miles anymore. The race applicants from around the world, and there are 400 runners, not 40, so it's a pretty big race. It's really, really big. And it's a lottery draw. And he gets a lot of people into it. Many people probably have no business running it. They probably think that, oh, this is going to be great because it's only a 50K. Or they want to meet Laz, or they want to be in that area because they've seen the documentaries. But they really aren't prepared for how tough it is. And I've seen people who did it once and they didn't make it past 10 minutes, and they go back again, and they're not prepared again. It's if you want to try it, you have to train for it, and you have to train for that type of race. I'm sorry, but if you're not ready for that type of race, don't do that type of race. Sure, do it once, but if you still aren't training in the proper way for that type of race, why would you do it again? Give up your spot and let someone who actually is trained for that type of race do it. I don't understand that. I think there's a selfishness in that, or maybe a fantasy, or you're not accepting reality. That's just me. I know, not the proper thing to say, but it's true. And there are tales of people who do well or people who don't do well, and people don't understand how tough it is out there. It's a tough race. It's not, of course, not anywhere near as tough as as the true Barkley marathons, but it's not an easy race. So if you have desires to see what Frozen Head State Park is all about, or if you have any desires to see what this whole thing is about, try the Barkley Fall Classic. Try the 50K and see if you can actually get through it. And that will give you a taste. If you can get through it, maybe, just maybe, you're cut out for the big guy or the big race. I'm not. I have no desire to do either. No, thank you. I don't want to do either of those races. I like watching other people do it. I like seeing videos about it, but neither of those races has any appeal to me. It's like, nope, nope, no, thank you. Not for me. But hey, a lot of other people apparently love or want to do it and really look forward to it. Even those who never should. All right, that is it for me. And thank you so much for joining me. I really, really appreciate it. And I hope you have great runs this week. I know I will. Gosh, you know, it's so exciting to say I'm running again. I'm running again. Yes, I am. And I'm going to talk about that in the upcoming weeks. And we're going to talk more about running, me actual running. Yay! I don't have a race until June, but I'm training for it. So I'll talk about my training as it goes along. And I hope you have a wonderful week. And the website is MarthaRunsTheWorld.com. If you want to email me, it's MarthaRunsTheWorld@gmail.com. And until next week, let's tie up your shoelaces and go for a run.